State Affairs Committee will come to order. This is January 16th, is it? January 16th, 3 p.m. And the members present are Representative Guevara, Representative Cato, Representative Boucher. Representative Jenkins is attending fisheries hearing next meeting next door, and said he. I don't know where the other members are. The meeting has been called for the purpose of having an overview from the Department of Administration regarding personnel classification study, and we have with us Frank Ray. Welcome,
thank you.
Frank.
For the record, my name is Frank Ray. I'm the Director of Personnel, Department of Administration. I'd like to thank the committee for this opportunity to make a presentation and an update on what is happening with the classification study. But maybe I should start by reminding the committee that this was begun when the legislature approved in 1983 an appropriation of $500,000 to establish a complete new classification study for the state employees in the state of Alaska. Those of you who have state employee constituents may have heard from them already. They are involved and involved to a large degree. And I'm going to give you a few words, and I'm going to ask that Janet Jaron, who works in the Division of Personnel and is the project director for this project, give you the details. The classification study was embarked upon because of a perceived need to realign jobs in a fair and equitable manner. Those of you who have worked closely with state government in the past will know that there was a saying that he who could write the best position description got the highest paid job. So we were using a system that was established in 1961, and even in personnel work we have found that there is an improvement in the state of the art, that there are newer systems, and we're in the process of adopting one of those. Result of the, after the appropriation was approved, we did a request for proposal and let out a bid and hired a consultant by the name of Booz Allen, and Janet will give you some details. But I would like to say what one of my favorite expressions about classification studies. Whenever there's a general classification study, you're going to have three primary results. One result will be that the majority of state employees stay pretty much at the same level of salary that they have been assigned at. Another is that there will be a lot of appeals. People will want to have been placed at a higher level. They will want to have been an accountant 4 as opposed to an accountant 3. Or a biologist 5 as opposed to a biologist 4, and we have anticipated that appeal procedure and a timeline. And again, Janet will show you. I think that independently of this report, a mail-out was accomplished to all legislators, so that you may have received a copy of the timeline in the mail. So a lot of the jobs seem to stay the same. We're going to seem to have a lot of appeals, and the third thing is it'll cost money to implement the study. And this is something we've tried to be upfront about and explained all along, that there will be a cost. And let me just explain to you briefly why that is. You think, well, if most of the positions stay the same, some are going to go up, others will go down, why won't that be a wash? Why does it cost money? And the answer is that in public employment, we never cut the salary of an employee. We try to hold them at the same and not hurt them personally. So the salaries are generally frozen, and eventually there will be a savings, but not initially. In other words, for example, if I'm in a position that was at a range 21 and it is cut to a range 19, I use those ranges because I know you're familiar with them in the legislation. My salary will be frozen at the range 21 until I leave that position, and then my replacement will come in at a 19. So eventually there'll be some savings, but initially there'll be a cost. And I think it's real important that you're aware of that and that you know that we want you to know that. We established a steering committee with legislative members. It's been my perception in the past that too often the executive branch goes off into a costly study and arrives at the legislature and says, well, here we are with this enormous bill without having let you know, A, what was involved, and B, let you be part of the process, and C, give you periodic reports. And so that's what we're trying to do now, keep you informed, make you aware of any concerns, or make you aware of any concerns or problems that we have, and to listen to any concerns that you have. And with that, if there are no questions, I will ask Janet Jaron to give a little more detailed update, if I may.
You have a packet that looks like this, that wasn't done in the interest of paper conservation. It looks like a lot and really isn't because there aren't many words on any of the pages. But the first thing states the goal that we have for the study, which is to develop an integrated classification and pay plan for state employees. And Frank looked at me and said, what does that mean? What it means, essentially, is that we want to review everything at one time, one way. And that hasn't happened here in decades. And we also, at the same time, want to develop a really consistent way of applying the methods that we're using throughout the system so that it looks like one system, and if it's true one place, it's true all places. This is going to apply to all classified job classifications and all pay ranges for classified employees. And on the second page, you get a little bit more of a breakdown about the important characteristics and goals that we have. The first, again, the consistency and the equity in the system itself. Improved response time for classification review. We get a lot of requests to look at individual positions and see if the classification is incorrect, and sometimes the processing time is very lengthy. We want a number-based system for allocating positions. We have all the departments doing classification work under delegated authority, and it gets very difficult to assure that everybody's drawing the same conclusions from the same information. We want to be able to make internal comparisons of jobs in the system. And we also want to be able to explain the method that we're using to people that are affected by it, and we have trouble doing that right now. The next page gives you a little more detail, particularly about why we would be doing that at this particular time. The system we're using is about the oldest one imaginable in terms of classifying jobs, and it was developed around the time of statehood when the state had 2,500 employees. We now have 14,000 classified employees, and there has not been a comprehensive review in that time frame. So now we are 25 years into the system without a single comprehensive look at our jobs. We receive complaints. The one thing that is constant now is the lack of satisfaction with the system, and it doesn't matter if it's the legislature, the executive, or the employees. No one's very happy with it, and I would add the unions to that list as well. It's difficult to understand how we're arriving at classification decisions, and we're charged that sometimes those decisions are not as objective as they could be. Once again, this response of this criticism of being a non-responsive system that requires too much time to effect any kind of a change or incorporate new things that are happening in work. The rate of technology for us in the last decade or so is so great that it's hard for us to even keep up with that in our descriptions, reflecting the new things that are introduced into work because of that. The next sheet is the cover sheet that came to you in a legislative mailing the other day and hits the highlights of what we've accomplished so far. We've been working on this for many months since that original funding, and our timeline for submitting a final report to the governor's office for consideration is this August. The completed tasks to date have been the formation of the steering committee that Frank mentioned. We have executive branch members, the personnel director from the court system, and also a legislator from the House and one from the Senate. In the past, that has been Representative, now Senator Abboud, who was chair of state affairs last year, and Senator Ray with Senator Fakes as an alternate in the Senate. We went through a consultant hiring process that was fairly extensive, and last April hired Booz Allen and Hamilton as our contractor. They have a subcontracting firm by the name of Paul Chris Craver. We formed several committees and came out with an extensive work and communications plan, and you received a summary of that in your mailing the other day. We developed a factor evaluation system, which was a modification of one that the subcontractor has used in several jurisdictions to date, and that we will use in actually evaluating jobs. We then trained a large number of people, better than 60 people in the new system, including union representatives and departmental personnel staff. We've spent a lot of time working on some automated support for the system too, which is something that hasn't existed in the past. We've done management presentations to state managers so that they're informed about what our goals are and what the process is for the study. And we've distributed forms to all classified employees and have received back close to 8,000, and these are coming into my office by the hundreds each day. The task we're working on right now is to complete this data collection effort, which is horrendous, to get in 14,000 forms, and then to do a sample of interviews with those employees so that we have more information about the work they're performing, to design a salary survey, which is being done, and collect information on what other Alaskan employers are paying for similar jobs in the state system, to actually evaluate the jobs using this new system, and then to write class specifications for all the jobs. The next page gives you a real quick summary of the system that we're using, and the actual factors appear on the later page. The initials stand for Alaska Quantitative Evaluation System. And there are 11 factors. You'll see when you look at them that they are the most standard kinds of things that people consider when they are evaluating and valuing jobs. We had, again, a committee here, state managers and union representatives, to look at this system and finalize a draft. And we'll be adding more material that defines that information as we go along. The next page is a real brief timeline that shows the functions that I've talked about: the market survey, the report preparation, and then the report to the governor in August. And the last little packet shows the 11 factors and gives you, in the event that you're interested, an example of what the contacts factor looks like. So if you have any interest in what a factor in a factor evaluation system is really structured like, you can take a look at that. We've kept the presentation very brief, feeling that it was more important to answer any questions that you might have rather than give you a lot of information, some of which might not be of interest or pertinent. So Frank and I would like to answer questions that you have about the study.
Any questions? Anything at this point?
A lot of work.
Is there anyone in the here who would like to ask a question through the chair? I noticed some people from other staffs, other staff members here, and people with interest.
Madam Chair, if I may, I would like to elaborate on one of the areas that Janet spoke to you about. That is the whole system of valuing jobs. And I think that one of the aspects of this study I think is rather unique is that a group of high-level managers was assembled. We involved the union people in it and decided to talk about what it is that we want to use, what factors to value jobs. And there, too often these decisions are made without discussion and without looking into it. And the development of these 11 factors and the corresponding weight of that was accomplished through a forced choice of committees. And the gentleman whose program this is, who's done this study in other public areas, pointed out that he was surprised at the large percentage and the importance that we placed consequence of error, and said that points out that you're still a service-oriented organization, and that it doesn't often come up that high. I think it was something like 30%, but that I think that the very idea of sitting down and talking about and defining and weighting those factors which will be used to value jobs is something unique and something that we can all be proud of.
I know that one of the reasons that a lot of people in the state were anxious that this study be done was that there's been a lot of minorities have not had opportunity to access the system. And I guess my question is, do you believe that this is going to be of assistance to making that more possible?
I think that through value, you know, I'll take a shot at that question, if I may have answered, but I'll ask David. I think that as an effort to value jobs in an objective manner, regardless of incumbents, and regardless of status of incumbents, will in and of itself provide greater opportunities for women and minorities because of the method involved and the objectivity of that method. But I don't... Would you like to...
Nancy Gross.
Oh.
I have a question about these quantitative evaluations. Are these listed in priority order, or are these all these factors given the same weight?
No, they're different weights.
These different weights?
Yes.
Can you let us know what the weights are?
Certainly.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't know that I can do it off the top of my head. Maybe
no,
so I
but
can
we can
help
provide it.
Well,
it,
maybe it'd be better for you to just provide those weighted factors rather than, you know, how sometimes you say something it becomes accepted and people, it's hard to correct it. So it might be better for you just to get that information to the committee, and I'll see that you get
one other thing, if I may, Madam Chair, regarding your question of a minority access to government. One of the results of this classification system will be the establishment of new class specifications. And those are definitive descriptions of groups of jobs, which include minimum qualifications for all jobs. And as you know, there has been a historical problem of minorities meeting minimum qualifications that are arbitrary. So we hope that through establishing new minimum qualifications, that will be a removal of yet another barrier.
I'm not too familiar with the details of how the system works, although I have been involved, but one of the complaints that I hear with people accessing the system now is that the registers are so full that even if people are qualified, they can't even get on the register. Is this something that when we get a new system that will be changed?
I would like to be able to respond to the affirmative. Unfortunately, I can't. That's what will happen as a result of the study is when we adopt new minimum qualifications, examination processes will have to be reevaluated and reestablished to meet those. So that new lists will have to be established and new tests developed and so forth. So that will establish another whole series of events. This is a major undertaking.
I know, and it's going to take some time.
The problem of the open registers versus ability to get on them is basically a resource problem. That's yet another story. We open the recruitment as much as we can given the resources that we have. So what happens now is when, as we open more and more opportunities for people to apply, it takes longer and longer for them to get their applications processed. But as we have more resources, we can fix that.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, question.
Yeah, you mentioned the steering committee that now has two members from the Senate.
Yes.
Is there any plans to add a member from the House or transfer one to the House, or will you just provide?
Madam Chair, if I think there's a little misunderstanding. What happened was we asked for one person from the House and one from the Senate. Last year, what happened was the Senate gave us a member and it altered it, and the House just gave us a member. We have, the Commissioner has sent over a letter to the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House to ask for new appointments this time. We have not received a response.
I got a copy of that letter.
Good.
And we'll check with Speaker to see what kind of representation we might get. For the record, I'd like to note that Representative Jenkins is present since we're on tape, and they wouldn't know that you walked in the door. I already explained that you were detained by a previous meeting. Thank
Madam
you.
Chair, I hope
I'm sorry you missed the presentation, but if you have any questions, it's very briefly amplified what the papers that you have in front of you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Has it been indicated how long?
Could you give me your name? I forgot that we are on record, and then we'll have it on the tape who spoke.
Okay, my name is Francis Dunn, and I'm from the Lincoln High not a simple council.
Thank you.
And I want to know how long this study is planned for and how soon the state expects to implement this new process.
From what I gather, and I'll be stand corrected, but the report is due to the governor in August of 85, and then it's up to the administration as to when they will implement that, put it into effect. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Madam Chair. We hope that it'll be in the next fiscal cycle. So that we
it doesn't take further action by the legislature to put it into effect, or does it?
Through the budget process. Money, of course.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who has a question, since we do have time?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Tim Pong, and I'm here on behalf of the Alaska Women's Lobby. I wanted to know whether or not the evaluation system would impact in any way those persons or groups of people who currently have preference in the employment system, i.e. vets, for example. Would this impact them either negatively or more positively or in any way at all?
I don't really see any impact one way or the other, positively or negatively. The impact on vets, for example, is statutory,
mm-hmm.
in that they are required to have 5 additional points, 10 for disabled veterans. That statute, presuming that it stays on the books,
right,
will still have the same effect on all applicants.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Anyone else? Betty? Just Representative Cato? If not, we will probably maybe calling you back later if there's some questions.
Thank you, Mr. We would appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity to keep you posted through the process. Perhaps before the session is over, we'll have an opportunity to give you another update.
Mm-hmm. Right. I did want to ask the committee. Thank you very much. I was at the World Affairs Council luncheon today, and Mr. Overstreet, who is the representative of the state in Tokyo, is in town and would be able to discuss with us anything regarding Pacific Rim trade on Friday. We do not have a meeting scheduled, but I think it's an excellent opportunity for us to have a chance to talk to him about some matters that may be coming before the committee. What is your pleasure? Would you like to have him come for a brief overview Friday afternoon? Beg your pardon?
I have a meeting scheduled.
For your committee, I bet.
I'm okay. Trying to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
I'm around to go to the committee.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, is anyone else interested? Would you? Or did you hear him today?
Madam Chairman, no, I had a previous meeting and I was unable to attend that, but barring any scheduled conflicts, I'd be very interested.
So would I, Madam Chairman?
I've been trying to run my schedule through my head,
yeah,
Madam Chairman.
Sure.
I think I've got a meeting scheduled.
Well, it's our regular scheduled day, but we did cancel it.
Yeah, we canceled it,
right.
So.
Okay.
Maybe we could fit in on Thursday with Senator Fisher.
Tomorrow?
We have an hour and a half.
Right. Well, maybe we can get him, I'll see if I can get him to come tomorrow after our presentation from Senator Fisher, which is going to be at 3. And thank you very much, Penny. I wanted to tell you that my staff all are equal.
Thank you.
They're all at the same range.
Again, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for coming. So with that, we will adjourn our meeting 3:25, 3:30, and meet again tomorrow afternoon for the presentation of Senator Fisher on campaign financing. And if I can reach Overstreet, we'll have him tomorrow also. Thank you.
I like you.